Certainly is a wonderful blessing to be with you all tonight, and so very thankful for this sweet opportunity to meet with the saints of God and to be able to seek to worship His holy name in this unique way. And do thank the Lord so much for the good, humble prayer that's been prayed, the songs that have been sung, and we want to continue to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would be with us. And we know it takes a miracle to preach the gospel. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to begin just for a moment in Matthew chapter 12 and then move back to 1 Kings, the Lord being our helper. Said the queen, this is Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." We see Solomon being portrayed in the scripture as a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Solomon had his failures and Solomon had his sins as any man in the scriptures would. But we see in the Song of Solomon the vivid portrait of the kingly husband Solomon and of his precious bride so evidently laid out. And as we go through 1 Kings chapter 10, the first several verses, the Lord being our helper, I would like to look at some of the details contained in this chapter and perhaps see some of the beautiful pictures of our Lord and of our Savior Jesus Christ and of a diligent seeker for his kingdom, the Queen of Sheba. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "And when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she was not only interested in Solomon and his kingdom, she was interested in the Lord of Solomon.
Amen.
And she came to prove him with hard questions." She had questions. I don't think she had all these answers. And while she was coming to, it says to prove him, which means to test, I don't think she came with a bunch of questions that she had the answer to, but she came with questions she did not have the answer to. And how many times, as we, as little children of God, as diligent seekers in the kingdom of the Lord, come to his house with questions that we, in and of ourselves, cannot answer?
Right.
I'm reminded of what King David would write in Psalms chapter 27, a man that was king of an entire nation, a man where the nation looked to him for their safety and for their security and for trade negotiations. And as the head of state with other nations, he had a lot on his plate. But this man would say, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." Of all he had on his plate, he said, "It's really just one thing that matters above all other things. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord
Amen.
and to inquire in his
Amen.
temple." To inquire means to ask questions. And there's no better place for us as to bless, to be in the kingdom of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. There's no better place to get our questions answered than in the Lord's house, than
Amen.
in his kingdom. She came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, a very great number of people. That word can even mean armies, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. She brought the very best that she had and that her country had to the kingdom of Solomon, and she laid her heart bare before the Lord. You know, really, the true worship service of the New Testament church is a service of the heart. We lift up our voices in praise to God, but we're really singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. We come to worship Him with the new heart that He's given us. And as we worship Him, we lay our hearts bare before our King, our Lord, and
Amen.
our Maker. She communed with Him
Amen.
of all that was in her heart. We don't have to be afraid to lay anything out before Him, for He already knows all. But we can lay our heart bare.
Yes.
And we can commune with Him knowing that no matter what, He loves us unconditionally. And He loves us so much that He came to suffer and bleed and die, that our sins might be washed in His own precious blood. We might live with Him forever in heaven in immortal glory. So then Solomon told her all her hard questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built,
Yeah.
Solomon, there was not a question she had that Solomon didn't have the answer to. He had all wisdom and all knowledge. And I'm reminded of what it says in Colossians chapter 2, in speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in Him dwelleth all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Not just some of the treasures, but all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge dwell in Him. It goes on later in Colossians chapter 2 and tells us that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In His kingdom is all wisdom, is all knowledge. In His kingdom, we have a king that's all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What a kingdom!
Amen.
And she said that she not only saw His wisdom, she saw the house that he had built. Reminded of what the Lord Jesus would tell Peter in Matthew chapter 16, when he would say, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon me and upon the truth about me, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The house that the Lord has built is a perfect house. It's a glorious house. The Apostle Paul would write to the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, and would say, "I hope to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." The Lord's house, which he built, is the pillar. It's the ground of the truth. We look in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, or let's begin in verse 5 for a little context. "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end?" We are blessed to be part of the Lord's house in all of its splendor, in all of its grandeur, in all of its majesty, in all of its perfectness. And what a blessing that is. And we need to hold to it with everything that we have. She saw his wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table, the food that was laid thereon, and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She saw the grandeur of the kingdom. She saw food that you could get at Solomon's table that you couldn't find anywhere else. And I'll tell you, we as little children of God, as little queens of Sheba that come to the kingdom of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer, we find food to eat. We find a table to feast at that's like no other upon the face of the globe. It cannot be found. She saw the grandeur of the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, their apparel and his cupbearers, and the ascent. But when she went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. When she saw all the glory and all the majesty and all the love and all the happiness of his kingdom, said there was no more spirit in her. The Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount would say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom.
Yes.
Of heaven. That word poor literally means a beggar. A beggar at mercy's door. A sinner realizing we have no righteousness to plead. Said there was no more spirit in her. It literally has the connotation of no more breath in her. Took her breath away. It was so wonderful. It was so glorious. It kind of reminds me of something in Psalms 126, you know, it just seemed like to the Queen of Sheba, this just seemed too good to be true. And in Psalms 126 in verse 1, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. When the Lord brought the children of Israel out of bondage in Babylon and brought about their captivity. That's a sweet picture of the freedom the Lord's given us from the bondage of sin into the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened to Israel, it was like them that dreamed. It just seemed too good to be true. But it is true.
Amen.
And it seemed too good to be true for the Queen of Sheba to see all the glory of Solomon's kingdom. And it took her breath away. It was like them that dream. Then in Psalms 126, it says, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them, and the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. What a blessing, what a glory is the kingdom of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. And she said to the king, it was a true report. I thought it was too good to be true. I thought it could never happen. I thought the grandeur and the majesty of this kingdom, that the reports I had heard must have been exaggerated. But she said, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came. And mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. That word prosperity is an interesting word. In the old ancient Hebrew, it has the pictographs of a basket and of a house. And it has the connotation of surround the house. A basket was usually something that carried very good things. And here we have the connotation of the prosperity of Solomon and of his kingdom was one surrounded by grace and by mercy and by love and by majesty and by glory, by beauty. And by everlasting love, said, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed Be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. She begins to praise and honor the Lord, the God of Israel, and she says, because he has put the king above you that you have, it shows how incredibly blessed you are. And I'll tell you the reason the kingdom of God here in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is blessed is because Jesus is our king. He is the head of the church. And because of that and that alone, it's a glorious kingdom. It's a kingdom of judgment. It's a kingdom of justice. It's a glorious kingdom. And I'll tell you, we can be happy in this kingdom more than any place in the world. Hollywood will tell you that the world can give you things that will make you happy. But I'll tell you, as a little child of God, as one that comes to the kingdom like the Queen of Sheba did, will never be any happier than in the things of the Lord's kingdom and in serving him. That's where true joy and true happiness is found. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She brought the very best that she had. And I would to God, when I come to the house of God, when I come to worship the one that's far greater than Solomon, a greater than Solomon is here, then I'll bring the best that I have, my best strength, my best love, my best service that I could ever give, that I'll bring that to his kingdom, to his house. And in verse 13 of that chapter, said, and King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Said that Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire. That Hebrew word rendered desire literally means pleasure, delight, desire. In the ancient Hebrew, it literally means hiding a treasure. You see, the Queen of Sheba found a treasure. And that treasure was so precious to her. She was like the man that the Lord Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth it, and go and selleth all that he has to buy the field. He gave her her desire. She found the treasure. And the connotation of that word desire is a hidden treasure. I love what it says in Psalms 37, 4, where it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. The Queen of Sheba was delighting in Solomon and in his kingdom, and he gave her all her desire. And I'll tell you, as we delight in our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer, as we delight in the one that's far greater than Solomon, he'll give us all our desire as we seek him. Whatsoever she asked. I almost interpret this desire as like maybe something she didn't speak, but it was in her heart. But Solomon knew it. You know, the Lord knows what's in our heart, even if we don't speak it. But when we speak it and we ask, he said, asking it shall be given, seek and ye shall find. It reminds me of what the Word of God tells us in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 3, where it says, the Lord's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It said she desired something. That's almost like she was thinking about it. It was in her heart, but she didn't just come out and ask. But then she did ask for some things, and the Lord's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Whatsoever she asked beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. That word bounty is an interesting word. It literally means an open hand, a moving hand. I love what it says in the book of Ruth, where Boaz instructs his servants. He said, you leave some handfuls of purpose for her. And the Lord blesses us in his kingdom with his handfuls of blessing, royal, kingly hand bounty. I'm reminded of a story of a farmer that told his son to go and pick some berries. And he told his son, he said, as you pick them, don't you eat any of them, and you come back and you bring them to me. And the son goes out and he picks those berries and he comes back to the father. And the father said, did you eat any of the berries? And the son said, no, father, I was obedient to what you said. And he said, well, that's good. He said, take you a big handful of those berries and eat them. And the little boy looked at his small little hands. And he looked over at the big hands of his father. And he said, father, why don't you get me a big handful
Amen.
of the berries? And the father did. And the little boy got a way bigger blessing that day from the handful of his father than he would have from his little hands.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you, as we come to the kingdom of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer, we get the blessings from his kingly and mighty big hands. What a blessing. His hands are so big, they're able to hold the entire elect family of God at one time. And we get the royal bounty of his hands. Yes, Jesus said, saw the glory of the kingdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And
Amen.
we, little child of God, are blessed to be in a kingdom that's far greater than Solomon's kingdom. And we're blessed to serve a king that's far greater than Solomon is king, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. I would to God I'd always be willing to come from the uttermost parts of the earth to enjoy the riches and the pleasures and the glory of this kingdom. God, may God richly bless you, is my prayer.